sisters in the world. Yeah, never mind. Hey, good evening, everybody. Well, good afternoon. Welcome to a new episode of the Brothers of the World pod. This time we have the ugly sweater edition. Come on, guys, show yours. You know, ironically, the whole thing was Ian's idea. He wanted us to be more festive, well, especially for the holidays. And look, Ian is nowhere in sight. Isn't that ironic? But I'm lucky to be joined by Risto and Joe, you know, impeccably dressed. So how you guys doing? How's the holidays? Do you guys have any plans? I'll start with you, Risto. How's your holidays going right now?
I mean, I think it's pretty iconic that Ian didn't show up because maybe he wants to be dressed up as Santa, you know, and doesn't want to join or visit the bad kids, and he's repaying us in that way. It's good. It's good, bro. Like, yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't say we're the bad kids, man. I know I'm personally well behaved. I don't know about the rest of you guys. How about you, Joe? How's your holidays going?
It's been good. Yeah, nothing really planned, nothing special. So yeah.
Just hanging out?
Yeah, just pretty much hanging out.
Okay, that's good. That's good. All right, let's get right into it, man. It's been a while since we recorded. It's been a couple of weeks. In that span, we had a lot of things happen. I believe the Real Sociedad match, the Champions League draw, and then in the Serie A, we had Lazio and Lecce, the most recent match. So let's get right into it. Let's get started with the most recent match, which is Lecce yesterday. This match that we played without Lautaro Martinez, who's been in the form of his career. And of course, you know, we had there were some doubts and there were some worries about, okay, are we going to be able to get it done without him? And the stats of how many goals we've scored without him on the pitch are quite alarming. You know, we get to that as well, but we were able to get it done, man. I'm going to start with you, Risto. Tell me, did you have any doubts that we were going to be able to beat Lecce? Do you think that it was going to be easy? Like, what's going on?
Like, it's Lecce. I think we've seen how good Inter has been throughout the season. And I think especially the bench has showed us how good they could be and how many times they have turned up when it matters. So I think this is the right case to showcase actually the substitutions that Inter has and the players on the bench that can be used and employed throughout the season. Because if you cannot rely on the substitutions and bench players against Lecce, then you cannot rely on them when, you know, shit hits the fan in March, April, and when the games, every single game actually matters. So I think it's a good showcase for the rest of the season. And I mean, as long as Audero is not on goalkeeping duties, I'm fucking fine, bro. Like, what I've seen from that guy, we'll get into that later on, but the Lecce game was never in doubt, in my opinion. Lecce were decent, but Inter is Inter, and the bench has proven once again that they are actually up to par with what Inter needs at the moment.
Well said. I agree personally. But I'll throw it to you, Joe. Do you agree with what Risto is saying? Do you disagree? Go ahead.
I never really had any doubts about yesterday. I just felt I was very confident going in. I knew Lecce's defensive record this year wasn't very good.
Yeah, I saw you tweet that out.
yeah. So I knew we could score some even without Lautaro. So I was pretty confident. And also, like Risto said, we're Inter. You know, so even if they have some attacking, weapons, I felt we could neutralize them.
I agree. I was of the same mind, and even more so with the result preceding this match. You know, it sucks that we kind of have to go backwards today in the episode, but before the Lecce match, we got knocked out of the cup, so I was expecting a reaction. And yes, the boys definitely delivered, man. We got started right from the get-go. We had a penalty start shot, I believe, the first 2 minutes of the game, where Mkhitaryan, we we built it up all the way to their box, and Mkhitaryan possibly had a penalty, but in my opinion, it was rightly not given. What do you guys think? Let's talk about the penalty real quick, because I did see a couple shouts, believe it or not, on Twitter, like, hey, listen, there was contact. He played the ball first. But me, I was okay with it. Like, I felt like he did overrun the ball. He wasn't going to be able to play it. And the ref was right to wave it off. What do you guys think? I'll go with you first, Joe.
Oh, no pen. For me, not even really that close. The goalkeeper's allowed to make some contact when he's going for the ball. As long as he got mainly the ball or the ball first, I was largely fine with it. And from the angles I saw, he did. So I didn't have a problem with it at all.
100%. Okay. Yeah, we're not going to spend too much time on that, it seems. Are you on the same mind, Aristo? Or are you one of those people yep. saying, hey, listen, this is a penalty. I want my penalty.
Nah. I think, you know, it wasn't a penalty. But even if it was, you have to be able to beat them without any controversy later on in the game. This shit will happen once again and will occur throughout the season, so no penalty for me. What about you?
No, I agree. I'm on the same page as you guys. But I'll give you guys a little more. I'll continue on what you said, Risto. Like the fact that it happened so early in the game, I was of the mindset that okay, like even if it's not given, we have plenty of time and we should be able to get that done without a penalty, being Lecce without a penalty. We kept going after that. We created plenty of chances, and it seemed like they mainly were falling to Arnautovic. I can remember two chances. The first one where we built it up, I believe Carlos Augusto had that cross from him from the left, and then he did do what I expected him to do as a striker. He hit it hard and low, but the goalkeeper made a tremendous save. And then he had another similar action where he kind of whiffed on the ball. And then looking on the TV, I thought he scored. I was celebrating, but then realizing that it was he barely missed it. You know, I was gutted for him and also for the team. Let's talk about those two chances in Arnautovic in general. Well, before we actually get to the assist, like, how do you guys feel about him going into that match? Did you guys feel confident that he can do a job, given that Lautaro is injured? And did you guys feel like, oh my God, like we might as well just go 3-5-1-1, pack the midfield? Those guys are they're useless, because there is a section of the fan base still, even after yesterday, that still feels like, yo, our backup strikers are useless and we might as well just using our midfielders instead. I'll go with you first, Joe. Thoughts on Arnautovic?
So I got a couple thoughts, even before we talk about the assist. He has not been at his best at all. I'm willing to acknowledge that. I mean, that's just clear. This is a guy who, for Bologna, he was notoriously, in my mind, very clinical with his chances. At Inter, he's been not very clinical at all. In the first matches that we've seen of him since his injury, we've seen a guy who's been pretty stagnant in terms of his movement. He doesn't move around that much. Now that's changed in the last two matches. He's been more mobile. Mm-hmm. But since then, you know, but before then it wasn't the case. So, in my opinion, he's growing into the role a little bit more. Now, what I don't like seeing, especially on Twitter, and this is just the nature of Twitter in general, that I just don't like, mm-hmm. that you see people who didn't like the signing when it was made. And because they didn't like the signing the day it was made, they decided that, oh, well, I want this guy to fail so I can be right. Right? And that's just the nature of the website, right? So, I mean, it's just something that gets under my skin that you see people like calling him a clown. If you listen to his remarks after the game yesterday, uh-huh. where he spoke from his heart, like just said, like, I want to do well for this shirt. I love this club. Like, you got to feel for the guy. I felt for him yesterday, too, when I saw him missing these chances, because he looked absolutely heartbroken.
Yeah.
So, So I want him to do well. There was positive that came from yesterday that we'll get to, but that's just my, those are just my two cents.
All right, Risto, let's go to you. I mean, I know, well, I don't want to be to say definitively, but I remember you were very, very much against that signing and you're not a fan personally. But now he's our guy. He's wearing our jersey and we have to get behind him. Tell me your thoughts on Arnautovic. How do you feel like he's coming along the last couple of matches, and your thoughts on those, on him up to those two chances that he missed in the first half?
Look, I would be happier I would be happier if he actually succeeds instead of fail, because after all, we paid like 10 million euros for him, which in the grand scheme of things is not a lot of money, but when it comes to Inter and the Serie A in general, I think 10 million euros is something that not even Juventus can spend nowadays with all financial structure and everything. But as a player, I think, look, I like those cocky players and, you know, I'm full of myself and whatnot. He's not it. He's not something that Inter needs for that sum of money. I think if he came on as a free player, he would be a great signing. But, you know, you can sign two other players on free, as we did with Mkhitaryan, and then, as the rumors say, with Zielinski. But yeah, you have to compensate with other players. And I know that he was one of the players that Marotta liked on the market, so I'm fine with it. Like I said, as long as Marotta is here, I have no doubts and I have no complaints against any transfer, because I know it will turn out decent one way or another. He'll contribute less goals, but he will come clutch in matches like this when we're trying to break the low position that Lecce posed, you know, with some flair, with some passes that, let's say, most players cannot do. And let's not forget that Arnautovic was brought in like 13 years ago by Mourinho as a loan player back then, as a kid. So he has a flair. Like his flair is there, but his hot-headedness has prevailed throughout his career. And that's why he didn't succeed. So I think as a signing, that's my opinion, as of the match and the season so far, he has been decent, a bit underwhelming considering the sum of money we have paid. But again, I think being good, as I said previously, is a relative term, because to me, how much you've paid can resonate with how good you are. So if we got him on free and he has played up to this par as of now, he's a decent signing. If you pay 10 million euros and, you know, get rid of Dzeko in the process, who was immense for Inter in the past 2 years, then it's not a very good signing. But we have someone like Thuram who stepped up. We have someone like Lautaro who's breaking records and scoring, 29 goals in a year. Yeah. So those goals that Lukaku scored 2 years ago or 3 years ago, those goals that Dzeko scored in the past 2 seasons, are replaced now by, you know, Calhanoglu's penalties, Lautaro stepping up, which we've spoken about for 4 years that he needs to step up. Mm-hmm. We have spoken about, Thuram and how good he has turned out to be so far. So, yeah, I think the how good Arnautovic is a relative term, because all those factors, when they come together, it makes sense. It makes sense to have Arnautovic in the team.
Well, that's very well said, man. And you went in depth with it. I definitely agree. Given that we did pay 10 million for him, so far there's no denying that it has been underwhelming. But personally, I have this thing about me that I'm a homer. So once the transfer goes through and you're one of our players, I'm supporting you and I'm gonna want you to do well. I agree that he hasn't done well, and especially with that big injury that he had where it seemed like he kind of tore a muscle or very close to it. It was always going to take some time and some minutes for him to play himself back into form, and it looks like it's happening. You know, he's doing everything well. His movement, he understands the movement of the team. He's combining very well with his teammates, which we saw on the assist, but he was just unlucky to score. So, yeah, very well said, guys. Both of you, I do agree. Now, let's go to that first goal. Well, before we even get to the first goal, let's talk about the player. You know, it's funny. I mean, that's one thing I love about doing the podcast with you guys. We can always go back to previous episodes to kind of see what our thoughts or opinions were on a player at a certain point in time and how those thoughts evolved. I remember last episode was probably either the first or the second time that we actually started praising Bisek, like, hey, this is a guy that he may not be a catastrophe after all, you know. He may be a useful player, you know. Now, yesterday was a match that he took a step, in my opinion, where he was less so worried about not messing up or not losing his spot, and more so worried about proving what he can do, because it seemed like every corner he was attacking it. And he had different techniques, that Ibra type of volley thing that he did that hit the crossbar before the goal. Even the goal itself, you know, that's not something that you expect from a defender, you know, with the way he flicked it off and stuff. Oh my God, that was beautiful. So guys, let's talk about Bisek, man. This kid is like growing in front of our eyes. We're not going to get too reactionary and call him world class or whatever like that, but the kid is just growing into himself, and he seems like he has all the tools to be a very, very, very good player if he can keep it up. I'm going to throw it to you first, Joe, since Risto, you just spoke. What are your thoughts on this kid, man? Like, are you surprised by him? I know you watch all types of football. Me, I had no idea who he was when we signed him, but I wouldn't be surprised if you had seen him before in some competition or something, because you watch everything. But go ahead.
I have a wide variety of football consumption, but I don't watch the Danish league. The only time I did watch Bisek before he technically came to Inter was the under-21 championships for when he was playing for Germany. In which he was okay, but he wasn't anything great. You can see the potential there, but he still needed work. He made a mistake, I believe, in the first game, but that's just to the side for a minute. He's a fantastic talent that Inter have found. I mean, what a gem they found in Denmark, of all places. I mean, if you would have told me that Inter, even a year ago, would have signed a player from the Danish league and uncovered him like this, like, that's just... Morata and Nacilio have a lot of strengths, right? But in terms of identifying the talents from like these low leagues and bringing them up to a club like Inter, that's not really something that we're used to them doing.
I agree.
Now, the fact that they did, now apparently, to kind of get background, they have hired a scout apparently in Scandinavia to kind of look for these talents. That's why we're seeing names like, I think his name is Bergvall, who's been linked to Inter from Djurgården in Sweden. Yeah. So that's why I think we're going to see more come. And I welcome it. And I just back to Bisek. I'm blown away by how good of an athlete he is, how much ground he covers. Thank you, Uncle Sharma. I'm absolutely mesmerized by what I've seen so far. Since that second half against Benfica, he has been unreal.
Agreed. How about you, Risto? Thoughts on Bisek? And you could also go, I mean, Joe, before I throw it back to you, Risto, Joe, I want to give you the opportunity as well to go right into the goal that he scored, since we were talking about him, and then I'll do the same for Risto.
You know, he's always looked dangerous on set pieces to me, even when he wasn't scoring. He always came close or made contact with the ball when it was targeted to him in recent games. Yes. So I think him scoring didn't necessarily surprise me as much. The miss he had that got off the bar was unreal. That's just fantastic technique.
Yes.
But the header was awesome too. Just the ability to make – that's a difficult set piece to make contact off of. And the fact he did it was really cool and – really showed a lot of skill in the air. So I expect him to get more goals in the future too.
I agree as well. And one thing that the commentator said watching it on Paramount Plus was that he seems to have a gift for being able to read the flight of the ball before everybody else. That's why he seems like he always times his jumps just perfectly to get that extra inch. And of course, being 6'5" or whatever he is does help as well. You know, the kid is massive. Now, you, Risto, Yeah, well, I'm gonna double check. I think he's either 6'5" or 4", something like that.
Last time, regardless, he's massive.
Yeah, he's massive. You could see it on the TV. Well, yeah, your thoughts on him, Risto. Did you know much about him when we were bringing him in? Did you expect him to even contribute at all this season? And all the way up to the goal that he scored.
Honest to God, I'm not sure what my thoughts were throughout the summer. I think my initial thought was, who the fuck is this guy that we are signing for 7 million euros after on a few installments, I think, was the case. So I wasn't sure what I was thinking at the moment and throughout the summer. But he has proven to be, you know, evolving in role. Let's not forget that he's 23, so he's not like 18. So finding 23-year-old center back with, you know, literally zero experience in the top flight, or at least in top leagues, is massive coup for Inter. And he poses as someone that's, you know, that's not very reluctant to go forward and to drag the ball. I think the last player that I can think of was Lucio. He reminds me of him. He reminds me of someone that's, you know, very calm on the ball, and he just runs with it. He's confident. He knows that he can score. So he reminds me of Lucio a lot, and a bit of Samuel, but Samuel was more like, I think Samuel was more composed. Lucio was more, you know, hot head, just run with the ball and destroy everyone in the way, and that was a threat. And yeah, I like him. He's a different kind of player with a different kind of style than what we've had in the past decade, I would say so. And especially after Lucio left. And I think before Lucio, we didn't have anyone like him because he's, I think, one of a kind player. So to have someone like Bisek to have a diversity in the defense, considering Skriniar left and he was supposed to be, you know, at least not replacing him per se, but just trying to contribute in one way or another. So yeah. I like him as of now. I really like him because he's a different player than what we've had so far. And Lucio is one of my favorite defenders. So I'm all in on Bisek so far. What about you, Dave?
No, I agree. That's a very good shout. He does remind me of Lucio, the way they seem like they don't have a plan when they're driving forward with the ball, but people are just getting out of their way and then they end up making a good pass at the end. And he seems to have a good footballing brain on him. I was bored earlier, so I just threw the match on again and I was watching it. And I saw a couple passes that he made, like through balls that he attempted with Arnautovic. Of course, he doesn't have the pace, but you see that he understands the game. I don't want to hype him too much because we know how these things go. Players sometimes get a purple patch of form that they look like the best player in the world. So let's just keep watching and seeing how he develops. He certainly has the tools, his size, his technique, and everything. Those are things that we can't take away from him. It's just a matter of him putting it all together more consistently. And also I'd like to see him do it against stiffer competition, because the teams that he's played so far are not the most threatening, except for Lazio. We gotta give him that. Let's keep it pushing. Matter of fact, before we even keep it pushing, let's stay right there for a second. You know, I like getting into stuff I'm seeing on Inter Twitter. So you guys are gonna have to answer that question. Of course, with Bisek's emergence and his recent performances, we have people wondering what to do with Mr. Pavard. Is it a guy? Is he a guy that? Well, do you feel like with Bisek's form, he should keep playing until he messes up or something like that, or do you feel like as soon as Pavard is fully fit, it's his position, he gets it back? That's the first question I have for you guys.
I think it's very important for him to stay at least in some sort of form. It doesn't have to be an amazing form as it was yesterday, because just like strikers, those kind of defenders like Bissek, like Lucio, like someone who are more eccentric than others, they rely on confidence a lot. And the confidence can be a motherfucker. So I think that's why.
Yeah, no, no, for sure. Let me just continue on that. Yeah, hold that thought. Yeah, I just wanted to continue on what you're saying for sure, because we've seen the difference from when he first started playing till that second half of Benfica, like Joe mentioned. It's like a matter of confidence. Once he started believing in himself and seeing that, yo, I can do this, we saw a major difference. Sorry to cut you off, bro, but that's what I wanted to add to what you were saying. But go ahead.
No, I was just finishing up my thought. Just, I think Pavard needs to be incorporated into the team because he has been struggling with injuries, but let's not forget who Pavard is and what he has done throughout his career. So I'm all in for Pavard. I think yesterday he played a couple of minutes as a right wing back. I think that's not enough to see how good he is. But yeah, we have to talk about the signings of a few players that are rumored, as we've seen on Twitter in the past week, later on. But yeah, as of Bissek, I think he and Pavard can alternate because there are very different kinds of players and types of players.
I agree. How about you, Joe? Do you feel like with the form that he's in, he has to continue being one of the first names? You guys do in the comments, please. Like, let me know what you guys think. Do you guys feel like with the form that he's in, he has to continue being one of the first names in the team sheet until his form visibly start going down? Or do you feel like, okay, Pavard is a World Cup winner, a record signing for a defender, we just sign him and stuff like that. Once he's fit, it's his position. Like, what are your thoughts on that, Joe?
It's a tough one. So it's not like Pavard before the injury was bad either. He was excellent. It's a good problem to have. It's a really good problem to have.
That's true. That's true.
I don't have an answer.
Oh, you gotta give me one.
I would say you start Pavard ultimately because he does have more experience. And you know what you're getting more than Bissek, because Bissek might be a bit erratic at times if you start relying on him too much, because he's a young defender. Defenders, I feel, don't really develop until they're like 26. You don't really know what you have until they're 26.
I agree.
And I'd stick with Pavard. Just because he's known quantity. And yeah, I'd stick with Pavard. So that's my kind of take. Well, what about you, Dave?
Well, you know what? I'm actually, I'll take the opposite of that, honestly, surprisingly. Like, first, look at both of their faces. First, you guys, I fully understand what you guys are saying. Like I said it earlier, walk up winner, very accomplished defender. He was also playing very well before he got injured on the freak accident. You know, so I agree. I understand why you would automatically just hand him a spot the minute he's fully fit. But just the way this kid is playing, I feel like he's on a trajectory right now where he's rising. And even as we sit right now talking about him, we still don't know, in my opinion, how good he can be. So I would, especially given that the next two matches are against teams that were just in relegation places or still fighting in that zone, talking about Genoa and Hellas Verona, I would still let him play. It's just still let him continue to build to see what he can do and continue to play. Knowing that Pavard, we already know what he is. He's a guarantee. I'll just let Bissek play, you know. But I understand that this opinion is probably going to be the less popular one, and rightfully so. Do we have any comments? Did anybody say anything about that topic before we move on?
Just Saeed.
Oh, yeah, Saeed, I did see this comment. But my thought on this is I don't think Pavard, personally, as a player, would be too happy playing that full-time, because one of the main reasons why he came to enter is because he was promised that he was going to be played as a center back. You know, he didn't want to play right back at Bayern, which required for him to do those overlapping runs and more attacking. So imagine wing back, which in my opinion is even more offensive than a right back. So I don't think he would want to play full time. Of course, he'll do a job to help the team or for a few minutes, but I don't think he's going to want to do that full time. You guys agree?
What about this one? Maybe try Pavard to play as right wing back and bring striker in January.
No, that I think the same thing applies. Thank you for the question, Armenian and Tarista. I think the same thing applies. Of course, he's a professional. If the team needs him and if Inzaghi decides, hey, listen, Bisek is playing so well that I feel like we can use you more at right wing back than at right center back right now, I don't think he will have an issue with it. But just the fact that it was so well documented that he wants to play center back and that he doesn't want to be a right back or have to do overlapping runs and all that stuff, which was the main reason why he left. So those are my thoughts on this. Go ahead.
Yeah, so he may have done it yesterday because Inzaghi explained to him that we're in an emergency, which we are at that position, but he will not accept that over the long term. I can guarantee it. For sure.
Okay. Let's keep it pushing, man. Like we spent more time than we thought on Bisek in that first goal. Let's go right into the second half because the first goal, it happened late in the first. Early in the second half, Lecce had a penalty shot. Well, not a penalty shot. They had a penalty actually given on the pitch, and it had to be. It took for VAR to be taken off. Of course, you know. I feel like it happens every episode or every match that we have to address what rival fans are saying about it. Of course, they're feeling like it's Marotta League and it should have been a penalty. One particular Juve fan, I saw him post that. Even if it was the elbow was tucked in or whatever, he made his silhouette a little bigger. What do you guys think? Do you guys feel like this should have been a penalty, especially given that the fact that it was giving on the pitch? Do you guys feel like it was a clear and obvious error that needed to be reversed? I'll start with you first, Risto. Your thoughts on the penalty?
I mean, I won't say anything. You saw the screenshot, you know, trying to find a job and stop talking about Inter. I mean, if the right decision was made after VAR review, so I don't think we need to comment on that. I mean, there are people paid for that, so let's do the show.
I agree with you too down there, Mattia. Thank you. Joe, I saw your tweets live, so I know you don't think it's a penalty, but just give me your thoughts on that.
You give that as a penalty, never play another game of football again. Ban it. Like, if Juve fans think that's a penalty, they are the dumbest people alive. I'll end it there.
Yeah, I mean, very short and sweet. I'm glad we just kept it that way. Let's get right into it then. The second half, I don't feel like Lecce created much to really worry us. Of course, they had a couple long range strikes from Banda, and I believe the other one, I don't remember who it was, but Sommer he didn't have much to do, but he made the saves that he had to make. You know, as we like to say on Twitter, you know, that's the issue we had with Andanovic, where the defense was playing well in front of him, but the few saves that he had to make, 2-3 saves in a match, he would not be ready for them. He would freeze and stuff like that. So I guess that's the opposite of what we're saying. So Sommer, another free. I know Risto. So Sommer, another clean sheet. He's continuing to be, in my opinion, the best goalkeeper in the league so far this season. You know, especially given that. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. You know, you see how your opinion changes when you actually see two amazing goalkeepers, two world-class goalkeepers at Inter. So I know I'm saying most of the things that I say are, you know, dumb for some people, but I've stayed with the opinion of Handanovic because I don't give a shit who he is. He plays for Inter. I may not like the player, but I always cheer for him. You see how good Sommer is. So the concentration that we spoke about, that's something that's key for world-class players or goalkeepers playing at a huge club. So there are a few times that you need to make a save, and when you have to do that, you do it right. That's it.
Yeah.
You have to do 20 saves a game. That's it.
Okay. And Joe, just for context, Joe, Risto, let's say the last 2-3 years, Where even when we had a very good defense in front of Handanovic, let's say some reckless shot from 40 yards out or something happens and he would freeze and not save it. And I would admit that I would come in here and defend Handanovic a bit, like, hey, you know what, he hadn't had much to do all match. He was not ready, stuff like that. But Risto would always counter by saying the same thing that he just said, like, the best goalkeepers in the world, you have to be concentrated throughout, even if all you have to do is just kickoffs or match. You know, once you have to do that one save, you have to do it. And Sommer has been proving to be able to do the same. And even Onana last year, because we're seeing, it seems like we're seeing the real Onana this year and at Man U. You know, so Risto, you know what? You got it, bro. You were right. I give it to you. But yeah,
I don't want to be right for this kind of things, honestly. Like, I want Inter to do well, and what they have done with the goalkeeper position in the past 2 years has been incredible. So kudos to Morata.
For sure. Yeah, that's second goal then, guys. Let's get right into it. Very good build-up. We had a similar action right before, but it didn't go to its end. But then we won the ball and did pretty much the same movements, but this time it came to Arnautovic, and he saw Barella making that run. And, you know, kind of like Ibrahimovic, he had that back heel right into Barella's path to have that goal. In my opinion, if you're going to miss goals like Arnautovic did and fail to score in a match, an assist like that is a very good consolation, in my opinion, you know. So I'll throw it to you first, Joe. Your thoughts on that beautiful second goal? It seems like Inzaghi Ball has been creating beautiful goals almost every match. We have a beautiful goal to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely gorgeous back heel. But yeah, he really needed that, didn't he? I mean, he dropped to his knees after he did that, so he really.
And you see, the whole team came to celebrate with him.
Yeah, that was really nice to see. Yeah, I really have too much to say on it. It was just so nice, so beautiful. Just, you know, Ibrahimovic couldn't even do that. I'm also not a big Ibrahimovic fan, so
be careful now. You know they come in numbers.
Oh, they're gonna come.
they come in numbers, Joe. Be careful. How about you, Risto? You want to give me your thoughts on that second goal real quick?
Quite on the contrary. I think I loved Ibrahimovic back in his prime, because he is, I think, I love players that are cocky and sometimes not good. Hence, the handle Quaresma CEO. I like those players. I think Arnautovic has a decent quality around him that he can actually distribute the ball when he needs to. Again, going back to the flair that we've seen a couple of players at Inter with that kind of flair. I think, again, his hot-headedness won over his career, but let's not go back to that. The assist was amazing. Like, that's something that I think of when I think of Arnautovic. He's that kind of player. He has those moments of bliss and the moments of greatness. And that's what I think differentiates and divides, you know, decent player to a world-class player. If you can do it over a period of time, then you're a world-class player. And he does not do that. I'm fine with that. He isn't supposed to do that. You have Lautaro and Thuram. But when Lautaro goes out with an injury, you have someone like Arnautovic, again, a very different player than Lautaro as a type of a player, that he can cover for him, can assist, can guard the ball, something that none of the strikers can do, as Arnautovic does. So, again, he's a different type of player. I like it. The goal, again, was amazing. The assist was really good. But Barella, you know, being open to score and to be in that position to score is even more amazing. So I'm glad for that. I think it's his first goal or second goal of the season. So, So I'm very glad for him, because I think this can be a confidence boost, especially, you know, going away to Genoa next match. And then you have, starting the 2024 year with a match against Verona, who are a decent team, to be quite honest.
You think so?
Yes, they have a really good team. I'm not sure why are they're underperforming, but Montipo is a really good goalkeeper, and I think I rate Montipo very highly. So I think they're underperforming because you have Sassuolo what in 15th, and their team is like stacked. So
yeah, there's some talent.
This season is very weird. It's very fun, and you have Bologna, Fiorentina, Roma, Napoli, you know, fighting for a spot in the Champions League.
For the first spot, so, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's a very competitive season in my eye.
Okay, I'm looking forward to actually us doing the preview for that Verona match then, because honestly, like Genoa, I'm more worried about them because as we should know by now, like the Marassi, like they're gonna give us a hard time there. But Verona, to be honest with you, I kind of overlooked them as a match that we should win quite easily. But before we look forward, let's look back a little bit. You know, it's not the most joyous of match, but timeout. No, Risto, you don't get to take a timeout now. You have to come back. It's not the most joyous of matches. But I'm going to go ahead and start with Joe first for a tweet that I seen him tweet. You know, I see everything on Twitter. I'm like the all-seeing eye, and I always like to bring it back up. As we know by now, on Wednesday we got knocked out of the Coppa Italia by Verona after leading 1-0 and in extra time they came back and scored two goals, and now we're out of the competition, even though we won it 2 years in a row. The reason why I'm coming to Joe first is that to his credit, before we even, I believe right after the Lazio match, before we even saw what the formations were going to be or how serious Inzaghi was going to take that Coppa match, he tweeted out that he just wants to, he wouldn't mind if we got knocked out of the Coppa so we can focus, of course, on the league and seeing how far we can go in a Champions League. Personally, I wasn't fully agreeing with it because I wanted us to have the kind of season where we have the 20th Scudetto and the 10th Coppa in the same season. That would have been a cool thing to do. But now that it's happened, that we're knocked out and we don't have to worry about it anymore. Let me come to you first, Joe. Your thoughts, man. Do you care that we're knocked out? Now that we actually knocked out, do you feel differently from how you felt beforehand, or is it just business for you? Like, hey, now we can look forward to just securing that second star. It is what it is.
Well, the game went horribly. Not because we lost. I don't really care about the result. Just because I wanted it done in 90 minutes, and I wanted, well, no matter what the result was, just please do it in 90 minutes. And then Lautaro gets injured an extra time and all that. It was awful. But in terms of the match, I don't really care. And I respect the Coppa as a competition, but I'm sorry. Like, we won it 2 years in a row. I can't care about it that much. So what are your thoughts?
How about you, Risto? Like, go ahead. You can go ahead and not go after you. Do you care that we got knocked out? Did you want to go a little further in the competition? Or is it a matter of just, hey, listen, we're out. We won it two years in a row anyway. Let's focus on what's more important.
Ideally, I would have wanted Inter to progress and to, you know, be a potential contender and to win the Coppa Italia. But at the end of the day, do I care? Not really. Like, the only thing that I do care about the season so far in the season is that for our players to be healthy and to compete for the Scudetto, because adding the second star to the name to Inter is imperative for the last, I would say, you know, 5 years. So if we do that, I think that's a huge win in my books. You go further in the Champions League, you earn some money, try to see whether you can win it, let's say. But I think the main goal for the season is to win the Scudetto. Anything else is a bonus, but winning the Scudetto should be the only priority in the season, so in for the season.
I agree. And you guys are both right. And I'll admit this to you guys real quick, because we're not going to spend too much time on this game. We're just going to move on real quick. Personally, I've always wanted to win the Copa, or at least keep progressing further in the Copa, because there's something in the back of my head that's fearing that we don't secure the Scudetto. You know, I want us to have that Copa in the back pocket, like just in case, so we don't end up completely empty-handed, which is not the best mentality. I agree. Like we're clearly the best team in Italy right now, and we should be just continuing to control our own destiny, and we should be fine at the end of the day. But that was my thing. Like, I just wanted us to have a competition that we can keep in the back pocket, just in case, like, you know what, hey, something happens, we're not going to win the Scudetto, we have something we could use, like, as a consolation prize or whatnot. But you guys said it well, man. The focus from the get-go has always been the second start, and that's what it is. So let's not spend too much time on the Copa. You know, we can come back and win it next year, because it seems like Inzaghi, he knows what it takes for this competition anyway. Let's talk about before the Copa, I believe, that Monday, that's when we had the Champions League draw, guys. And as we know, we have Diego Simeone's Atletico Madrid. This is a team that, I'll go first. Personally, I have mixed feelings about them. I'll admit that first thing you hear, I mean, you think when you hear Atletico Madrid, I'm thinking, oh my God, Diego Simeone is about to play some terrorist ball, park the bus. They're about to be trying to kick our players and all of that stuff, and they're going to try to terrorize their way into the going through. But I'll admit that ever since we've drawn them, I've watched their two matches. I believe they drew 3-3 against Getafe, and I believe they beat Sevilla yesterday 1-0. I'm seeing that they're playing much more. They remind me more of Inter than you would like to say. You know, they're very compact defensively, of course, as you would expect from Diego Simeone's side. But they also come forward in numbers and very quickly, 3-4 passes there in your goal. And Griezmann he's in the form of his life. It's seeming like, so they're going to be a very interesting side, man. So let's talk about the Champions League draw. I'll go to you first, Joe. How do you feel about Atletico Madrid? Do you feel like it's a favorable draw for us? Would you have preferred somebody else? And what should we expect from Atletico?
Well, they are. I like your comparison and comparing them to us, because they are a lot like Inter in that they're at their best on transition and the counterattack. Still, even though he likes to have the ball more than his team's probably used to, he's not quite playing the terrorist ball that he's notorious for. But at the same time, I think watching that match against Getafe, I watched it as well live. They lack a bit of discipline. Savic got that red card in the 27th minute. Yeah. And that's something that's kind of plagued them throughout the season, that they kind of lack discipline. And I would favor us 55-45 to go through.
I believe they had a red last night as well, bro, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, they did against Sevilla. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm double checking. Yeah. So you're spitting right now. Go ahead.
Yeah. But yeah, they lack discipline. I think that's something we can take advantage of. They're always, Simeone's teams have always been a bit the kings of shithousery. But this time they take it too far to the point where the ref isn't going to let them get away with it. So I think we're the favorites to go through slightly, but I respect Simeone, and I respect his team a lot. So yeah.
Okay, you know me. I like you to put a number on it. Give me what do you think the odds are? 60-40 us, 55-45. How confident are you?
55-45.
Ooh, Matias said 50-50 for him. You said 55-45? Okay. How about you, Risto? Same question applies to you. How do you feel about that draw? Were you happy that we drew Atletico? Are you worried about them? And also, just like Joe gave me a number at the end, give me your number as well, please.
Considering how much I dislike Morata, I think every single team that has Morata has 10 players on the pitch.
It's not enough. We're this close. This close to having them. Oh my God. This close.
I would have been a Juventus fan for the season. I'm fucking swear. I swear to God. I hate that guy more than Juventus, probably. He's useless. He always scores against Inter, though.
Yeah.
I think it's a draw that benefits Inter, considering Inter has struggled the most in the past when Inter has faced quick players. I think the solution to, how do I say it? The solution to Inter's unlocking and Inter scoring against Inter has been having fast players. We've seen players throughout the Serie A season score against Inter if they have pace. Going from, I don't know, Gervinho to going to the guy at Bologna like a season or two ago when he scored against Inter and then fucked off in Belgium on a loan. If we have drawn, for example, PSG, which was the case with Real Sociedad drawing PSG, like it would have been kind of fun, I would say. Skriniar back to Inter, Hakimi back to Inter, Donnarumma to Milano, Mbappe to against Inter. In all seriousness, I think it's a good draw because it's two teams with similar mentalities. Atletico playing in a bad form right now. I mean, bad form. Bad form meaning their defense is leaking more goals than they used to. Uh-huh. They have like the fifth or sixth defense in the league and hence have conceded 19 goals so far, which compared to Inter 7, it's like not even comparable, let's say. It's really fun to compare those two. But it's a favorable draw. I think we should go through, I would say, 65-35 in Inter's favor. Because, like, it's Inter. Come on. Like, you cannot.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I mean, it sucks that Ian's not here. You know, Ian is a pragmatic guy, so he would have been 50-50. You know, like, I don't know, guys. Yeah, I don't know.
Playing
I don't
safe. Want to make
it playing it safe. But, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. With you both, and I'll give a number as well for me. It's 60-40 Inter. I believe it's a matter of we're the same. We're similar teams, but I feel like our system is much more it's much more fluid. It's firing on all cylinders. We have the discipline aspect down pack. The defense is good. And Lautaro and Thuram are playing very well. One thing that's very important for me is those two, three matches that are left with Lautaro out. Hopefully, Arnautovic can build up his confidence and become an asset for us as well, because I feel like his physical ability, playing back to goal and stuff like that, is going to be very helpful for us against Atletico. Guys, one thing I wanted to touch with you guys before we do wrap it up as well is the Super League. Guys, this has been such a interesting topic, especially for us Inter fans, given that we know the financial situations of the club, and you know we always think of the Super League, or we were the Super League was presented to us as a solution to all financial issues of the club. So when I first saw that they were relaunching the Super League, and I saw the plan, and it seemed like all the issues that were there in the previous time that they did it 2 years ago, they were taken care of, which is the matter of it not being a closed league and stuff like that, relegation and all of that, and they seem to have taken care of all that. I thought that it was going to be a big success, and it was going to be a succession of teams announcing that they're joining the Super League. And again, it was quite the opposite. It was the same thing that happened the first time. You start seeing clubs one after another just saying that they're out, including Inter with all our financial situations. I'll admit that I did expect us to be one of those clubs to step out which we did, but it was a little bit gut-wrenching for me because I want us to be in the position where we can actually start looking at players like, hey, you know what, how much is this guy? 50 million, 60 million? Okay, you know what? This summer, you know what? This is a guy that we should be looking at, you know, as opposed to looking at our players, like, okay, which one of our players are we okay with selling, you know, and how easy will it be to replace this guy, you know? So it was a little bit disappointing. That was my long-winded way of telling you guys how I felt throughout the day of that Europa League announcement. I wanted you guys to touch on it as well. I want your thoughts first, Risto, on the Europa League. Do you care? Are you one of those football is for the fans guys? Go ahead.
Definitely not. We've known each other for like 3-4 years. I mean, I read the news about the Super League while I was at work, and I was like, really? It sounds like interesting enough. And when I got back home, I saw, like, I was scrolling on Twitter, and I saw so many reports from the from Fabrizio with the club statements, and all of them were the same wording, the same. It sounds very idealistic, and it sounds very prepared for. I think they saw it coming. It could have. It must be something that was in the making for a long time, because the first thing that I noticed was the wording being the same. Like, we stand with European football, we stand with the values, we stand with the European blah 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 family, something like that. It sounds it's fishy. Something is rotten within. I don't know what it will turn out to be. I think Inter, as much as I would love Inter to go for a player and just say, oh, what, 15 million? Have 20. I think in that manner, Inter will diminish, and Inter will not be the Inter we love today, because in such environment, you will need a different sporting director, different mentality players, different structure. And in such way, I think Marotta works best in this kind of environment, when you struggle, when you have to make something out of nothing. And that's what Inter does. So for me, it's I know that younger fans, and I was like 5 years ago, I would probably my opinion would have been different, but now I just don't give a shit. I support the team, and the team that I like is this one at the moment. So if they change, it's not gonna be the same Inter. Although, yeah, more money will solve most of the problems, and you don't have to sell players every single summer, and you'll count it down to a penny. But I think in that sense, Inter will not be as good as we like to, because I don't think we've ever done that. So even when Moratti had money, and when Moratti was buying players, it was different to Manchester City and Newcastle of today.
That's interesting, because the thing is, like, what's fresh in my mind is what just 3-4 years ago, before COVID, right? Like, that's what it seemed like we were doing, you know, like Barella. What? How much for Barella? 50, 60 million we spent on him. And then that same summer, Lukaku, 80, you know, like Hakimi, 40. Like, that's what I meant. It's like, it seems to me like we never got to see the end of that, you know, and it seems like Morata and Osilio, like, they had the right idea, you know, and that's what it is. I guess it's more wishful thinking, and I agree with some of the points you made, most definitely. How about you, Joe? Like, give me your thoughts on the whole Super League saga. Are you for it? Are you against it? Go ahead, bro. Floor is yours.
So, I agree with a lot of Risto's points. You made a lot of very interesting ones. It's an interesting perspective. I would say, if you think that the Silver League is a silver bullet to save Serie A and Inter, that's just not true. It's a way to make, in my opinion, it's a way to make things fair on a European level. But it's not going to solve Serie A's problems. It's not going to solve the fact the league can't market itself. It's not going to solve the fact that the league can't build stadiums. It's not going to solve the fact that the owners are incompetent and corrupt. So I think it's not the silver bullet that people think it is, but it will help a lot. I ultimately, my vision of European football is I'd like to see more leagues be more powerful like they used to be in like the 70s yes. and 80s, right? That's how yep. I feel. And I feel ultimately that there are things like maybe a 5-4 rule or something like that that would help that significantly. But in the current paradigm of European football that we're in, that's never going to happen. So I'm kind of torn ultimately on the solutions that are needed. But I think the Super League is better than the current. It's an evil. It's not great. It's not a great solution. It's not even a good solution. But is it better than the current UEFA monopoly pro Premier League paradigm that we're in? Yes. So, but it does. But people got to be keenly aware. This will not solve interest problems. This will not solve Serie A's problems.
Yeah,
so that's just my perspective.
Just let me ask, or Dave, just before I do agree with Joe, and I want to add that with such leak, I think the rich will get richer and the poor will stay poor. And with time and time and time, as time goes on, the poor will get even poorer, and the discrepancy will be even bigger. Yeah, UEFA is corrupt. UEFA is, you know, rotten from inside out, but I don't like UEFA and the structure and all the controversies and all the corruptions, whatnot. But let's not make this a lifesaver. It's a better alternative, yes, but it's not great. It will still not solve the problems, as Joe referred to.
Let me ask you guys this, and before we wrap it up, why do you guys believe we're saying no to it? Honestly, do you guys believe that threats were being made by FIFA? Which would surprise me, because that same day the ruling came out, the ruling also came out that FIFA and UEFA cannot punish or regulate clubs from joining new competition and all that stuff. So that told me, like, okay, you know what? The ruling stream is saying that they can't make threats or saying whatever. Why do you guys think we said no?
In my opinion, it's because people have to remember, and this is the same reason Roma came out against it too. The two clubs have a settlement agreement with UEFA for financial fair play.
Yeah.
And therefore, the threats that may be made by UEFA underhandedly mean more to clubs like Inter and Roma than they would to other clubs like Milan. I don't believe Milan has a settlement agreement with UEFA, for example. So that's why I think Inter came out against it.
That's true.
Not necessarily because Inter is more anti-Super League than any other club, but it's just that Inter has that settlement agreement where they kind of have us by the balls in some ways.
I'm sure in that settlement agreement there's some clauses against joining other competition and all that stuff. So yeah, that's very, very well said, Joe. I didn't even think of that. How about you, Russo? Why do you think we said no? Is it because we're the proud Inter that we've never been to Serie B, we don't cheat, we stand for what's right, and we want to stay in the light with UEFA?
Definitely not that. I don't think anyone in football right now has those morals. They never did. It's just a politics game. I think just like politics, football is a big game of politics in of itself. And I think, as I told you before, the first thing that I saw on Twitter when I opened it and when I wrote all those statements is that the wording is the same. So I encourage everyone that hasn't noticed that particular wording stuff to go back on Fabrizio's Twitter and just to scroll and to see the wording, and it's all the same. And I think it's something that is, you know, pre-written. It's like a corporate thing sent out to the employees so you can continue their, you know, be the tentacles of their evil things. But I cannot give you an answer to that question, because my mind is not even thinking, oh, why are they not joining? It's just something that I have that I expected, And I think we need to dwell deeper, and I think some will go in the coming days, coming weeks, coming months, and we'll touch on it again when we have more concrete answers, considering there's something, you know, the rabbit is still somewhere there with the shared, you know, statements and all that.
For sure. Yeah, very good talk, guys. Very good talk. Very great episode. I want to thank everybody in the comments. As always, guys, it means a lot to us. No matter what time we record, we always have you guys joining in and commenting with us. It keeps the show going. I want to thank Ian first for pitching the idea of holiday spirit and holiday sweaters, even though he didn't show up to embarrass himself. Risto, thanks for joining us. Joe, thank you for joining us. You know, you guys make the episodes great as always. Guys, thank you for joining us again. And as always, Forza Inter.
Dave, thank you too as well. Like, that's a big part of the show. Thanks again. See you guys.